Yeah, I'm sure he's just busy.
Being the meeting here, we have a slight little issue here that we don't have a quorum today.
Absolutely.
We've heard from Eileen. We thought we were going to have more people, but Eileen's called in sick here even this snoon. And Ryan was supposed to be with us. He's the auditor in Becker County, and they have this thing called an election that they're still dealing with up there. And he was planning to call in, but we haven't heard from him yet. So right now we've got Jeff and Teresa and myself, and we do have some guests here today. So why don't we do this? We can go through our agenda. We probably can't take any official votes on things, but I think there are some important topics that we need to talk about where I hope we can probably funnel most of our attention will be on the topic number 6, funding strategies. But let me just ask the members here if you want to take a look at the agenda and if there's anything you want to add to or delete or questions.
Do we have guests that are going to be presenting here or talking about things?
We have a couple of guests, or I should say, and the county recorders group, I think Larry and Chris Facilisi will give us kind of an update on what's been happening in terms of the mapping for the uniform conveyancing blanks.
Oh, okay.
That will be the report from them.
I was just going to suggest if it's somebody that wanted to present and then go, then we move them up the agenda.
We could do that if there was anyone else. Let's see. We had I was just going to ask you for an update on the trusted submitter, and I haven't had a chance to talk to you about that one. We had Bill had offered, and I'm trying to remember what it was, Bill Morey. Was there something else you were going to get back to us on that
was,
you weren't here last?
That was a poll of the of what kinds of documents our county recorders were interested in.
Can we include that with the county recorder report, Bill, that Chris and Larry will include? Because that's kind of the thing they're working on is the uniform conveyancing blanks. Let's talk about that then, if that's all right with you.
That's great.
Okay. And I think those were the only items where we might have had guests. We are hoping next month to get the Department of Revenue to join us and give us an update on CRVs.
Okay.
I think we need to know where it is, and we may need to discuss strategies for getting a return on our investment, all of us. Because I think for us to be able to move ahead with even Model 2, we need something from them to make that a reality. So we hope to try and deal with that topic next month.
Do we have anyone on the phone, too? Or
no, they would call in, but they would hear it. But okay. Ryan was planning on participating on the phone, but he hasn't called in. And unfortunately, we can't call out.
Oh, okay.
So we could, but it's a long-distance phone call, and we don't live here in this building. So.
All right.
Anything else? Tracy, you have anything on the agenda then?
I do not.
Well, why don't we just proceed then with the agenda? We don't have the minutes, and we did not get the minutes out in advance of the meeting, so maybe you want to just take a couple minutes to take a look at it. And if there's anything that hits anyone here.
Thank you.
either of you have any other items on the minutes?
No.
If not, we'll accept them, and we'll ask people to take another look next month to do a formal approval of them. But in the meantime, we can consider them the best we have for now. Why don't we go on to, okay, we've got introductions. We have, I think everybody is an old standard here, but I do know we've got one member here that hasn't been with us before, Dallin Miner from Simple File. So he's been doing a lot of legwork here in Minnesota, and I owe him a call, and unfortunately I haven't returned it to him because we've been so busy the last couple of months trying to work on our rollout of our new recording system that just went live on Monday. So we've had a few little issues as we've gone live as well, but that's been in the offing, so we'll be probably having in our county some follow-up with Dallin, but welcome, Dallin.
Thank you.
Yep. Is there anything in particular you had today that you wanted to offer to the group?
Yeah. Anything that you need, I'm happy to offer.
Okay.
I was here, obviously, and most importantly, around doc types, with lots of submitters interested in increasing doc types, both attorneys, banks, and title companies. Minnesota also continues, of the 28 states that we're operating in, they have the most limited doc types, so we're interested in seeing what this does.
I think that's a topic that's near and dear to the commission here, Alan, and I think you'll be hearing a talk about that here today. So,
Thank you.
So welcome to you and to all of the old standby that are usually with us here most months from the recorders around the state, and Bill Morey here from TriMin. So, subcommittee reports. I'm just going to ask Jeff if you want to give us any update on the Trusted Submitter Group.
There isn't much other than we resent out that questionnaire hoping to get a better, more responses back, and we only got one more back, which was kind of disheartening. And I'll just say, and it pretty much followed the same lines as the other responses, and it wasn't too drastically different. The only question I'd say in particular was, or a point that was brought up in this one, was the consistency in which the county offices would collect funds for mortgage tax, state deed tax, that type of thing. The funds transfer was the only other new question or concern brought up. But other than that, it was
how
pretty much...
How counties will do that, you mean? Or?
Yeah, I'm sure it's... do we have to keep an escrow account? Is it going to be electronic? Do we have to...
Okay.
Do we account to two different departments, you know, the recorders for the recording fees? Where each group for one... You know, I thought you were going to jump in. You only have to do one for ours, but... but, you know, that was the only new issue that was brought up or concern. Other than that, there, like I said, we sent that out again to all the MLTA representatives and brought it up at the board meeting to try to get more people to respond, and just got the one.
Okay. Well, that's a good topic because that is an important issue that the counties are kicking around as well in terms of paper, cash, and checks. And I think we all want to get to electronic.
Right.
So, anyway, why don't we go on then and take up County Recorder Group Report, and that's Larry and Chris. And I think when we last left off, the saga was that they were going to get together again to talk about data elements that would be identified for the remaining uniform conveyancing blank forms that might be considered for a standard for Model 2 type document submissions.
Yep, and Chris and I did meet last Friday in beautiful downtown Carlton. Spencer Flowers at the Carlton County Government Center and went through the rest of the uniform conveyancing blanks, and I think we're ready to meet with Pam now from U.S. Recording, so we'd like to schedule a meeting with her sometime in the next week or two to look at going over this with her to see if she needs any additional work from us to get things rolling. We still are comfortable with only having three separate groups, really, of documents, and all of them fell into those three. So I think it's not going to be a huge undertaking to do this. There's still going to be some decisions that the commission will have to make on what's required and what's not required, and there are still some minor issues with some of the other documents, like we still need ECRV to do deeds,
right,
or some other way around that, and that's going to be a stumbling block from really going, you know, to get to the even to the six pack. And I think have meeting with the Department of Revenue at the next meeting, I think is or at the next commission meeting, is very important, because we need to get that done in order to move this along the way we want it to. So I'd really like to hear their where they're at and where they think they're going to get to in the near future. But Chris and I are anxious to meet with Pam, so get her contact information.
She was going to call in today, but
yep.
Yeah, I'm sure she can.
Okay, wonderful.
And she doesn't have to come to Carl.
No.
What's that?
She doesn't have to go to Carl. No.
It was a trade-off.
Yeah.
She drove down to visit with me one day, too. So it actually it went real well. We were happy when we got down. And I think there's only like three different versions of a schema or whatever you want to call it. They're not that much different between them either. So maybe Pam can help us figure out how to do just one, too. I don't know. That might be another solution. But we at least have identified why we think there are some differences and maybe need to be three, but
okay.
But Pam's expertise, we may be able to get that down to just some variations.
That would really be great if at least at the January meeting you could report back on how that meeting has gone, and maybe if Pam has some idea about the amount of time it would take to do, I think she calls it data mapping.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To those elements that you've identified, mm-hmm, in all of the UCBs, so that we could then have something that the commission could put out for people to comment on and to take
right.
a look at
right.
For consideration here down the road. Because if we could have something at the January meeting, we could get it out even if it was ready. I'm not saying it can be ready. I think we need to find that out. But if it could be, we could get it out for comment and discussion during that month, and even have a chance maybe to look seriously at it in February, which would be exciting, because you're telling me you've gone through all of the uniform conveyancing blanks.
That's correct.
So,
yep.
Which would get at all of those that are at least approved at this point in the state of Minnesota. Did you take a look at the transfer on death deed ones too?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Those that were out there.
Yeah.
And the affidavit of clearance form, too. The transfer on death there, the current popular item.
I think that will be covered under affidavits, to tell you the truth.
Yep.
There's just a general category.
We lumped a lot of things
under
affidavit because there isn't really a lot of variation there.
Right.
So.
Okay.
And, well, that's one of the decisions the commission has to make, is that how many different types of documents will be recognized as for a title when it's submitted to a county. I mean, are we going to be happy with a lump term affidavit for everything, or do we want all over the named uniform conveyancing blanks? That's a big question mark on our minds. We don't think that there's a need now that people have the ability to just click and look at a document to have all the different fine, granular down to that level.
Mm-hmm.
They should be able to just go look at the document. If it's an affidavit and you want to know what kind of affidavit, look at the document.
Look at the image.
Well, and if counties are paranoid about that, or concerned about that, I shouldn't use paranoid, but concerned about that, they can override it after it comes in and
right.
change it to their particular affidavit of survivorship or affidavit of
right.
identity. So
we just have to plan
and
figure out
it.
What is going to be acceptable, or what the rules are for submitters to submit, and any county if they meet the rules has to take it. I mean, that's really what we are all about here. So,
is there an opportunity at the January conference, Chris and Larry, for that? Your data element identification to be discussed at all by any of the recorder group?
We're having a recorder's roundtable session, so if you wanted to bring it in, you could.
My speculation and my question for doing so is that my guess is that each recorder has a recording system that probably groups together different document types for identification purposes, and you're keeping it fairly generic, so it probably wouldn't make any difference what recording system was being used, if I'm hearing you right.
Well, there still may need to be some interpretation between what's submitted and what the county recorder is using for, you know, most of them use like a 3 or 4 character code to identify the document type. They may have an expanded name that displays, but they probably use a 3 or 4 character code behind the scenes, and that's what gets actually placed on the document, and then there's a table that will display. Well, they may need to do some mapping and have some software or something in their system to interpret what is submitted and then get it into the right category within their own system. I'm sure that Bill's dealt with that in numerous counties, I would expect, because not everybody uses the same code.
Right.
So they want to convert all their codes.
I'm sure like other software vendors, we just have, you know, equivalents and tables.
Yep.
Match them up.
Yep.
I'm sure of that.
And I don't think we want to try and take the task on of making everybody use the same names and make everybody
no,
the system.
No, but so the problem is that you still have to submit the same.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The submitters have to be consistent.
Right.
After that, the recorders can interpret
they can
how they
deal
with
it.
Right.
And what Chris suggested, if the recorders still want it to be more granular than what is submitted, they can always choose to make it so on their own end, as long as they're not prohibiting somebody from recording something because they don't have it as granular as they want it.
Okay. Maybe Bill and Dallin, we can ask you in terms of the document types of what you're hearing or seeing, Bill, Dallin, what is it your customer base would put high on the agenda?
You mean in terms of types? Of
types of documents that they would want to be recording electronically now?
Well, we, you know, from our user group meetings, we you know, obviously deeds bubbles up first, but then we get into the conversation of the CRD issue and other things. And after that, it starts to get to be very broad, although affidavits is always very high. But just get us as many, and I thought a good suggestion, and one that Dallin and I have talked about is, you know, in the meantime, while we're waiting for revenue or what we're going to do to work around that issue with regards to the CRB, are there some low-hanging fruit that we can just grab and get put through, get authorized? It's a volume question. You know, more is better. And as many of these things as we can knock down and not necessarily just wait for deeds to get pushed through, let's do it. Let's get as many as we can get.
Just so you're aware, both of you, because I forgot, Bill, you weren't here last month, but we've pretty well made a decision to move ahead with identifying all the uniform conveyancing blank documents.
Right.
And to try and move to the next stage to authorize at least level 2 recording of those documents.
Good.
And that's what this group has been working on with Pam, and if we can get that mapped out. And I guess that really was our hope, is to try and get to the point where we've got not only the 6-pack, which was always the first focus, but that's got a few little issues here with CRV, but let's move that. But at the same time, what's the backup? Because we were hearing things from others like, we'd like to do a lot of foreclosure-type activity. We've got a lot of affidavits, the same thing that you've heard.
Right.
And some of those sorts of things that people were having an interest in. And Jeff's mentioned that he's heard some of that same stuff, and we were hearing it from some of the county recorders around the state. So we tried to look at how we could do it from a big picture standpoint rather than try and figure out which one is there, because what I'm hearing from the Trusted Submitter Group, they want to be able to do packages together. So whatever they submit, they want us to be able to submit everything in that package. So we kind of came to the conclusion, can we take a look at all the UCBs? And if we can identify all of them, are there things outside? There are documents that get recorded outside of that, but do any of you know what those are? Are they high on anybody's list? Because we thought we'd tackle this group first.
And
I'm
I think
that would be that would get the mainstream, you know, 90%.
I mean, I think if you exclude the mortgage, the UCBs are at least 90% of every recorder's office documents.
Yes, I'm sure.
I mean, I think that's what we hope to try and really focus on. So that's where we're headed, and the sooner we can get that. Yeah. Because I think we're seeing potentially for the first time in about a year or two, there may be an uptick in business here in the next 6-7 months.
Yeah.
The one other thing that we've heard a lot of is attorneys. If they didn't have to drive to the county to get a spouse, power of attorneys.
That's on the list.
That's the one other that I would add.
Yep.
It's in the
UCB. And they're one of the uniform conveyancing blanks now. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. Minnesota's got a form for that can be included, completed, and that would be one of those that they were working on mapping. So,
And you know, things like exact titling are less relevant than required versus not required. Because the rest of those data fields.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Get the data fields and do equivalency tables.
Yep.
But the required, non-required, those are rules.
Yep.
That's most important.
Yep, and I think we've already pretty well agreed that we'll try and keep those to a minimum, but there are some data elements that we will probably look at requiring, which might be a little different than you see at PREA, but I think those will be critical if we're going to try and have some index issues that everybody's got to meet within the state. So.
Well, I think PREA's position is that things like the trust relationship that the county has with its submitters define those kinds of detail, and if a particular county has a requirement for a required field, mm-hmm. fine, that has to be worked out when you have your trusted submitter agreement, and so their job, PREA's job, is not to define those kinds of things as so much as it is to let's get the data elements identified, and the requireds versus non-requireds is almost county by county, if not state by state.
Well, we want to make it state.
Whatever. But there's plenty of room in the PREA standard for those kinds of rules to be applied.
Right. And that's, I think, the principal reason that they're working on that is so that hopefully this commission can come up with something that would be statewide, what the requirements mm-hmm. are. So you'd know it then for any county, and every county that's going to do it then needs to be able to accept it with those elements when you submit them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's good. That's really that's exciting, Larry and Chris. I appreciate the good work downtown Carlton has proved to be very beneficial here in the month of December. So that's
make sure
wonderful.
You put beautiful downtown.
Okay. Beautiful downtown. Pardon me. Yes.
Correction.
I do have an update on the website.
Good. Why don't we hear that then too?
The letter went out from the commission informing the reporters that there would be instructions coming out on how to data enter their survey information into the MACO website. I do have that letter ready. Larry has taken a look at it, and I've sent it to Mike and Janine, and it's ready to go. The only thing I need to do is test the links with Larry to make sure that they work when they go out to enter the data into the MACO website. So it's ready. Hopefully, I just haven't had time. My daughter came home for 2 weeks. She kind of blew my schedule. But hopefully sometime next week, I'll have that out to the Recorders Association. And we'll start seeing tons of data.
Okay.
Good.
And remind me, Chris, we were going to ask to go back to
January of 2008.
Eight?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's right. We decided to do the whole year so that we'd have a year.
And we'll do it ongoing, yes.
Yep. Okay. That's exciting, then. That'll be good.
And hopefully all 87 counties will participate.
Well, otherwise I'm going to this.
Yeah.
But they want to avoid
that.
Can
you invite them to downtown?
Downtown Carlton.
Yeah.
Beautiful downtown.
Wait until April, though.
Yeah.
You mean when the glacier melts?
Yeah, when the glacier melts is right.
Anyway, thank you, Chris. I appreciate the Recorders Association's willingness to take that project on and get us some meaningful data that we can have on a continuing, ongoing basis to rely on for everybody. Well, then, if we're done with that, why don't we go on to item number 6, funding strategies?
And let me give a little background of this particular topic. Following the meeting we had last month, there was agreed to take place a meeting with folks from the Legislative Coordinating Commission and the Secretary of State's office to discuss funding strategy options. And as I think we were coming out of the last meeting, we were talking about what the economic climate was, and it doesn't look terribly rosy at the moment for Minnesota, and where the real estate market is at. And if we're going to be able to move electronic recording forward, what did we need in terms of money to move forward? And Ben and Pam have not been able to get together yet to talk about that price tag number yet. But we'll follow up with them to try and have that, because I think that's critical. But the second piece was, if we were going to be looking at funding strategies, what might we do this legislative session? One of the thoughts that we had was that we would basically not go forth with any specific proposal, but would see how the session evolved and developed and see where the financial and fiscal issues were. And if others were pursuing legislation, if it made some sense, maybe a small amount of that might be dedicated for purposes of the Electronic Recording Commission. The other thought was, can we get money? Item number two, can we get money from those who are on the outside that can make contributions to the commission to be able to move forward? Item number three was, can the county recorders, you know, contribute money to the commission in order to make the commission work successfully from, you know, recording fee money that is being collected? And number, what are we up to, four? Mm-hmm. The other one then was to seek possible legislation in order to enact some type of funding to support the efforts of the commission to move forward with the electronic recording. So it was with that thought in mind that I attended a meeting with folks with the Legislative Coordinating Commission, the Secretary of State's office, and we did a little brainstorming. And I will share with you, and let me ask my two compatriots here to help supplement a little bit if they can. But suggestions were made that if you think you want to pursue legislation in one form or another, you need to be at least aware that there certainly are legislators that don't take kindly to adding things on as amendments when there has been no original legislation ever introduced on that particular topic at the beginning or during the course of a session, and that you run the risk by doing that of possibly not getting anything if that was your true goal and objective. I heard that coming from both offices, and we then kicked that topic around of what might we need in terms of, you know, funding the efforts of the commission, and I basically said $500,000 would certainly take care of the needs for the immediate future. And where could you come up with $500,000? And then we talked about, are there things that could be done that wouldn't require that? And yes, there are some things that can be done. The less money we have, the less we will have ability to do any kind of validation, the less we will have in terms of having other electronic assistance and that type of thing for either submitters or counties, and the less we will be able to move to a level three or a model three type environment for the future. And those were kind of some of the discussions that we had. In the brainstorming that then took place, and I'm going to kind of refer you then to a piece of draft legislation that Greg Hubinger was kind enough to offer to put together for us, that if we were going to consider some type of legislation to support, an alternative might be to seek for a period of time a surcharge on recording fees. 50 cents is what's in the draft, and have it sunset at some point in the future, and then have it supported by funds or fees coming from recorders' offices from that point it sunsetted moving forward. And we had some discussion of that, and I think some of the suggestion came because I made the comment that it is going to be very difficult for any county in the next few years to be able to contribute, or at least in the foreseeable next year, for any county to consider contributing funds from recording fees coming in, because the fees have dropped so dramatically over the period of the last 2 years. And with counties knowing what's coming in terms of legislative problems with the state's budget, and knowing they're going to lose county aids, knowing they're also going to be faced with increasing costs for medical assistance and Medicaid, and guessing that those will be targeted areas for funding cuts as well here to keep the state's budget balanced, it's going to be very difficult for counties looking at that here moving forward. We also discussed what some of my private sector friends on the commission and outside the commission have reminded us of numerous times, the amount of fees that Minnesota already collects in this area, and that they wouldn't view that terribly kindly in adding more fees on to what are already, some would arguably say, pretty highly taxed and feed areas in terms of doing real estate transactions. So that was the topic, and I thought, you know, we need to at least have a discussion of that at the commission, because I think if we're going to do something, I don't want to lose the relationships that we've all had in moving this sort of thing forward together and not be coming from different approaches and so forth. So that's a little bit of the background. Diane, have I covered it pretty well? What have I missed? Sally, you?
I think you covered it well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the proposed legislation that Mike refers to, it's over here for the public attendees, but it's also included in your...
You've got a copy in your packet.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg went back and he pulled out the actual fee language, and it's got, mm-hmm. you know, the editing and commentary
yeah, so
on the right-hand side so that you can see where the changes have been made and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, it's... Anyway, I open it up for discussion, for mm-hmm. comment, because I think this is an important, extremely important issue.
And Teresa, I'm sure, can speak to this as well from the private sector. I'm sure the first question that would be thrown back is, how does this differ than 1B here, where it's $10 she'll be deposited in the technology fund pursuant to the subdivision, if everyone has this. I think that's where... the private sector would probably come back and say, well, that's what we thought, there's already an allocation for technology. Isn't this technology, and isn't this where this would go? And, you know, just trying to field that type of question. And now there's 10, and now there's another 50 cents. That would be point one. Point two would be, everyone remembers the last time this happened, and then we had the funds available, and then that was withdrawn again. What's the safeguard against that happening to us a second time? Where I should know this number offhand, but Mike, what was the total number that we?
It was in the range of about $1.5 million.
Yeah. So we had $1.5 million in there at one point from this very same fee, extra fee, of which we never got to use for these purposes. So I'm just anticipating some of the questions that would come back on, you know, bringing this back to the MLTA. That would be the two things. And I think you hit it right on the head, was when we have a pretty generous recording fee as it is today for, you know, that might be tough to push that one back through this group.
And also remembering it's the consumer that pays that fee.
Right. And in the cases of some of the lenders, sometimes they pay it on their behalf. Some.
But most of the time it's the consumer.
Yeah.
It's the public who pays that.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. So it's increasing to them.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm sure it's one of these fees that's not going to, you know, people would never... The average consumer is not going to notice that, gee, last year this recording fee was $46 and now it's $46.50. But
they may not know it individually, but if there's publicity or any press on it, they would.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I can take this back to the MLTA group or put this out and say this is what the thoughts are and try to get some feedback. Just anticipating that's probably.
And I think your point about whether the money would actually come to us in the end is probably the biggest biggest concern.
I think that hurt quite a bit when we lost the $1.5 million before. That would have funded us throughout eternity, you know, really. I mean, that would have funded us a long time into the future. So that's...
When does the actual legislative session start?
January 6th.
We really don't have time. One of my concerns is that we don't have the budget figured out yet. We don't even know how much money we need to go and ask for a surcharge to raise money when you don't really know how much you need is not the best approach either. So it worries me. And it does worry me opening up the fees to the extent that this particular draft looks at, because it touches the entire recorder's fee structure. And I'd rather see just a couple of lines of legislation adding a surcharge to all documents recorded for X amount of time if we were to take any action at all. But I don't think we would be well served to do it this time, personally.
And speaking for MCRA, I just don't see where the counties would look at this and be able to support it either. I think they'd have a really, really hard time. Back in.
The Recorders Association, yeah. Chris, you're talking about?
Yeah. Yes, I would agree with Jim Fight as a county recorder. We often get feedback, of course, from the title companies. And, you know, we just had that increase in 2005, and it was a substantial one. You know, we went from 20 to 46. It was a big jump. I wouldn't see them receiving this well. Not just this short time period later.
I think the impression, too, like I say, would be, how does this differ than... I think that in everyone's mind that the $10 fee for technology would cover things like this. And that, so now, why is that not the case? Like you say, you're probably opening up a whole can of worms here and saying, why isn't that $10 covering this, then, if it's not...
And we all know the reality about it. We know it's the economic downturn.
Mm-hmm.
Which we didn't think, no one thought it was going to be this one.
Right.
Maybe our great economists.
Oh, my mother did. Did you ask her? She's been telling me she's been predicting this for years.
If you always predict a downturn, at some point you'll be right.
And vice versa.
Kind of like trying to predict the weather.
Yeah.
Now, the need is there, but I just don't think we can go back in and ask for something that we have gotten such a large increase just recently.
And did they give you any sense of how this would be received, considering the state of the shortfall within? I think that was announced that same day, right?
It was announced the next day.
The next day,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I
had
didn't
a concussion,
get any,
so I stay off.
I think I was told that something about, well, you probably A, would need to get a consensus to move forward on this, and you probably need to suck it up, Kniff, and move forward if you really believe in this. Mm-hmm. Words to that effect. You don't need to put that exactly.
Paraphrasing.
You know, we are recorded.
Let me throw out one of the other topics that was discussed, and there is going to be discussion at the legislature about fees and taxes related to real estate.
Yeah.
whether it is property taxes, mortgage and deed taxes, recording fees. There are groups out there, I can't tell you how many, but I've heard about three already. Some are looking at adding a fee on to foreclosure by advertisement of as much as $2,000 in order to discourage people from doing foreclosures without first trying to work out a workout. And that if you do follow certain procedures, perhaps you'd get some of the fee back or rebated. Groups out there talking about it. There are groups out there talking about adding on to the recording fee in order to support assistance programs for those that are having trouble with mortgage activities. And again, helping the advocate groups to do workouts with lending institutions. And they've talked about adding surcharges onto the recording fee. There are homeless shelter groups and those that are trying to help those who want to be in affordable housing, talking about adding on to the mortgage and the deed tax dollar and increasing those percentage amounts. And they're out there talking and advocating, and where that will all go, I don't know. But those will be issues that are going to be on the table in the legislative session this year. I wouldn't want to be one bringing those forward, knowing what I'm going to hear as response from the people on my right and left or their constituents. But there is going to probably be more focus and attention on real estate-related topics than any year that we've seen for some time. And what the climate is going to be in terms of dealing with all of that, I don't know. There's just views that range very widely on this issue. So the issue is going to be talked about, and I've sort of thought, well, I always would rather be part of the solution and not part of the problem. That's where I've always preferred to align myself. And I think that's what this commission is all about in terms of being good government, and I think it's good for the citizens of the state. I'm of the opinion that we can move forward for at least another year or more, probably without the funding, if we focus on Model 2, and we, assuming we get contributions that we have in kind of people like Pam, yeah, and some of the recorders groups, some of the vendors that have done work for us in the past, if Ben is able to help, contribute some things here for the future, I think we can move forward in getting Model 2 progressed and in place during the coming year without the added funding. I do think in the long run we probably won't be able to get to Model 3 type things without it. And I think that's right where there. It becomes more critical. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I see things anyway. But the issue of this topic being discussed at the legislature, whether it's us or others, it's going to be discussed. Mm-hmm.
So you're thinking that you don't want to be part of that group, or you do want to be part of that group? since it's being discussed already, now let's be part of a discussion, or are we saying this is going to be such a tough issue, no matter who's bringing up what, that we should distance ourselves from this?
Knowing the state's economic position, I feel very awkward coming forward and recommending a fee adjustment of any sort this year. That's Mike Kniff speaking personally.
Yeah.
Just knowing the economics of the state, knowing the economics of counties, and knowing what's going on in the real estate marketplace, I would feel very uncomfortable coming forward, and I'd feel very uncomfortable, I think, the commission taking that position. Mm-hmm. But I would also say that if the legislature is going to impose fees on the recording side for other purposes, I would say this has as high a purpose related to that activity as anything that I can think of, and that if they're going to do that, I would say some of that money should be funneled to deal with what we're going to need to do here in the future. But it's not something that I would feel compelled that we need to move forward in recommending at this point in time, because I think we can certainly go another year without it.
I agree. I think there's enough volunteers and there's enough people here that will do the work. And like you said, we our efforts are to get Model 2 going, and I agree with you as well. To get Model 3 going, we're going to need funding, no question. But hopefully in better economic
times. I don't see the mortgage lending industry able to get BSMO to the point where they can come up with a standard, and why worry about something that we can't control?
That's right.
Because we could, it's the old build it, nobody comes, but, you know, we could have this ready to go, and it still depends upon, you know, mostly the lenders, that they'd have to be ready as well. And I don't know to what degree or what that they would be ready at the same time that we would, you know, kind of work together and say, okay, if we plan on a 2-year, 3-year, whatever that is, and try to work towards that. But I do agree that we can move without the funding. Probably better time of our efforts working on Model 2 than legislation.
I do. I think that it's real valid. I'm sure that the lending industry is not going to be ready for Level 3 in the next year. So, and it's probably a good opportunity to start doing some of that work with Level 2, and as they see some of that stuff happening, and then they can actually see that can record at Level 2, then let's talk about Level 3, because I think right now everybody's out there thinking there aren't enough counties that can record electronically anyway, that they're not even looking for it. But I have had, interestingly enough, had a conversation yesterday with some people from Freddie Mac who want to try to resurrect that e-mortgage thing next year. So I think we'll start talking about it a little bit more. I think maybe in the next evolution, as things start coming back, it's probably going to have a lot more momentum on the next upswing. Right now, we're on the downswing, obviously. Mm-hmm. Now, on the next upswing, I think it's going to have a lot more momentum than it has in the past. Okay. So I think it's something, especially since in the mortgage industry, there's so much more consolidation, and the big guys are big. There's not so many of the little guys down there anymore, and the big guys are going to be probably jumping on it. I don't know. I think that the funding is probably going to come so much from the lending industry as the ones who, like MERS, or who have a real big stake in it because they have the e-note registry, and they have revenues coming from that. If they can get more people to participate in e-notes, the mortgage industry is going to go as long if they can do both the note and the mortgage, that's when they're going to start participating. Same thing as what happened with MERS when we had a MOM document where we only recorded one document instead of recording the mortgage, then an assignment to MERS, nobody participated. As soon as they found that it was more efficient way to do it, then everybody does MERS now. So we don't have assignments anymore.
Yep.
But and that we was all really know quick. That. Very, 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 very quick. Yeah, that was a very quick transition, and I think that e-mortgages is going to be the same kind of thing. I think the other thing, though, the focus is if you have also kind of on a technical how things work in our business, and Jeff's probably pretty aware of this, but we don't really produce that document. Right now we send the data to the title company, who will print the document and have the wet signature put on it at this point. So in my mind, it's always been mortgage industry thinks it's going to cost us so much money to build this in the first place that they're not willing to make that. But I don't think there's really anything, because it's data. It's how our data is going to be packaged. We have the data already. How we're going to package it, and I think it's going to fall more on the title industry, the people that are closing those loans for us, because they're the ones who have to affix the borrower's signature and create the wrapper for that document. We'll probably provide the raw data, and they'll produce the documents, very much like you're doing right now.
Mm-hmm. You're going to continue to pass the risk on to everybody else, just like what got us into this trouble.
That's what we pay them. That's what we pay them to do.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Thank you.
So that's kind of my perspective on what's going to happen. But I do really think, and it's kind of interesting because I did just recently have that conversation, and I know that they're kind of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Also, who knows what's going to be with them? They're right now, you know, under conservatorship of the government as well. You're not going to get any money from them. We're not going to get any money from most of these places. You have to see where there's going to be a cost benefit, and nobody's really seeing that yet because it's not. You know, it's a fringe thing right now to us. But as soon as it's gonna, I have a feeling it's gonna break open sometime, just like MERS did, and that's when all of a sudden everybody's gonna be ready to do it.
It would seem to me if we had a track record in this state of having identified how to create a standard for Model 2 for all of the uniform conveyancing documents, and if it's moving forward, you know, all of a sudden there may be an interest in a grant for a state that's been able to identify the total picture, and how could they move then from Model 2 to Model 3 for the future, and there may be, you know, seeing a track record of what we've been able to accomplish, you know, would open up other doors for types of funding that you, I don't think we have it at this point. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, if there's going to be some of that free federal money coming here in the future, do we need to stimulate things? And, you know, maybe there's something that we need to, you know,
keep our... e-recording is infrastructure, right?
I, you know, people have laughed at me about this, but I really think this is where our future is.
Well, we built the interstate in the 50s and the 60s, and now we've got the internet state.
Hey, it cuts down on fuel costs. You're not driving those documents to the courthouse.
Yep.
We could do that kind of study. And
we've got another green. We got a green solution for real estate here. I can see it coming.
I think that's a good. I think that's a good approach. Really, I mean, I know you're joking about that, but it is a good, really good approach.
Oh, I'm jokingly serious. Yeah. You're right. Absolutely.
That's a very good approach to it.
Yeah. Yeah. How many barrels of oil can we save by doing this? That's the way we're going to cost justify everything, I think, in the future, is how much energy we
save. How many trees
save. And the trucks that have to move logs. And
yep.
Who used the price when it was $150 a barrel compared to 42 or whatever, 38 or whatever it is today. So.
He's got the emissions.
Yeah, emissions. There you go.
Let me turn to the audience and, you know, you've heard the discussion. You've got thoughts about this whole issue about the fee legislation support. First of all, let me throw the question out. Do any of you have thoughts about whether we can move forward without financing here in the next year to 2 years if we don't get it?
I think we really can move forward, as we discussed. And in fact, I think it would be viewed as a very positive for the task for the commission here, if having gone through the quote difficult times, we're able to continue to move forward, continue to provide service, continue to advance the technology, embracing level two documents moving forward. It's got to speak very, very well when the inevitable upturn does happen and we can go after some Model 3 funds. I think that's a great demonstration of the effectiveness of this body. And I don't think you're going to find too much reluctance on the participants' part to do the things like Pam is doing and others to help where we can. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's in everyone's best interest to get as many documents, as many types of documents, e-recorded as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm 100% behind your statement of let's move forward with level two. And let's not get distracted by trying to find money that's going to be hard to find no matter where you get it from. And let's rely on kind from resources that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Building on what Bill has said, when you saw the presentation back in September, right now with our submitters, they can scan it in level two, or they can import it into a template level three, and it shows up at the county. Either one. So the interim points are almost mute whether you say we're only going to do level two or level three. If we accept these doc types, then our submitters have the choice. I mean, especially banks doing abstracts and leases. They're populating them on a level three basis because they're pulling the data and out comes a document, and then in most cases they print it out and then take it to the counties to get recorded because that's the process they know. So as Bill has said, as you have seen, Mike, I think if we can increase those doc types of what makes sense and as quick as the committee does that, then there can be a nice green campaign that's also there. Hey, here's how it goes, and we can accept both. So my thoughts and piggybacking on both of those.
Okay. Others of you recorders, thoughts? Contributions, observations, suggestions?
You know, I can't speak for other counties, particularly smaller counties than myself, but as far as the funding goes, if there comes a point when that's necessary, I think we might have better luck asking for contributions than we would legislation of raising the recording fee. Again, I'm just speaking for myself, but I was one of the counties who was able to make a contribution. given up hope yet. I know they're still working on it. But, you know, I would be open to making a contribution to something like this as well. And again, I know I'm in a more fortunate situation than my smaller counties surrounding me, but for me, that's a distinct cost. You know, I do have a technology fund, and I think this is a worthwhile cause. And if there is a true funding need, I would be tempted to consider that.
But we'd always start at the beginning of the alphabet, right?
Yeah, we're gonna trickle down to the essence of that.
Well, and I think that was part of the discussion we had with the Secretary of State's office and the Legislative Coordinating Commission, too, was that in my county, any time up until the last year, this would not be an issue, that I would be able to contribute funds to this commission to do a lot of the good things that we've done. But the drop in the recording volume has been so substantial in the last 2 years in our county, just like all over, and the lost revenue and... they think I'm going to generate more revenue than what I tell them, so that they assume I'm going to bring in more. So even though I'm...
You have the same problem.
Do you all, yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're viewing that my deficit, as they call it, is greater than what I told them it was going to be, but it's because they want us to be bringing in more money.
Yes.
And that just has not happened the past couple of years, and it hasn't happened for any of us. And because of that, with the other cuts coming in the state aids and that sort of thing, it's going to be a very difficult year for Hennepin to be looking at making a contribution for this. That probably won't be the case forevermore. As our business picks up again and rebounds, there will be a different view of that. But I know in this coming year, it's going to be very, very difficult. And I think that's going to be true for every county in the state. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think I want to be confident that you're all comfortable that we can still move ahead this next year, even if we, worst-case scenario, don't get any contributions from outside or from counties or whatever. And what I'm hearing is a commitment to still being able to do that. So.
Well, we bumped along many times with no funding, so, or little funding, so I think we'll be fine.
Well,
as
I think...
As long as these guys continue to show up and give us a little support, I think we'll do fine. We really appreciate them showing up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And Mike, coming from outstate county, too, I'm thinking about, I may have money in my technology fund, but in this time of fiscal unrest, to send it somewhere else out of the county and not invest it in my own technology, it may be a hard sell in, and I don't think my commissioners will come that very kindly. Mm. It'd be very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's that same thing. This is going to be a tough year for any county to put money in the hopper. So.
And that's just reality.
Well, but your county's putting money in just by having you show up.
Yeah, they are, and they know that, and I hear about it.
Let me ask commission members here then, if this is the position that we were to take. What, if any, direction would you suggest we consider if these topics do get discussed in the legislature? And what if, pie in the sky, what if someone were to ask a question, say, of myself, we're going to increase the recording fee by X number of dollars, and do you want any of it for the commission for any purpose?
My view would be, in light of what had happened before, is that we better have something to spend it on right away.
I, you know what? Months before we lost that, I remember Dennis Unger bringing up and saying, "You better spend this money, or they're going to pull it from us." And I laughed, and he was correct. I think you're probably right. We're probably better off sticking to what we're saying. Over the next year, we're not going to look for funding. Hey, we're not looking for funding. We can get this done, and that we move ahead and stay focused on getting Model 2 out. I don't know. Honestly, I think we'd wind up losing more support by trying to get funding now in any form. I mean, from just about anyone. When we get some things accomplished, see what we've done, you know, kind of prove our we're worth, mm-hmm. then I think funding is going to be more available to us.
We have a solid number of what we want to spend it on and what we're going to need
yep.
it for.
Yep.
Just arbitrarily having money put aside to spend at will is not going to go over very well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm very comfortable with that.
Okay.
I'm very comfortable with that. Nothing else, and I don't think we need a motion or anything of that nature. One last question, just for our support. Are there other issues that we haven't considered that we need to in terms of the LCC's position?
We're part of the legislature.
Right.
And the executive branch, the different agencies already have been advised to look at cutting their budgets.
Right.
We get our directions from our chairs, who will meet. You know, there are some discussions right now, but it's kind of premature. You know, it's preliminary discussions. So we don't know our budget yet. I mean, what we're looking at cuts. So we can't tell you right now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think as a commission, we do need your continued support. As it has been planned or existed, that I think is critical. I think, as I've heard from Greg, we can't, quote, give you the commission the kind of technical support you may need or want at some point, but we can continue to support your meetings, agendas, minutes, reports, that type of thing.
Yeah.
That, I think, you can rest assured we would support if that was necessary at a legislative hearing or to legislators or what have
Absolutely.
You, I think we all feel very strongly about that. We're very appreciative of, you know, your wanting us also.
And we can't do it on our own.
And that type of support we do need. But I would hope they'd also recognize that I bet you haven't had many commissions talk like you've heard today and make a decision that maybe we can still move forward without funding, knowing what the circumstances are. I participated in government an awful lot of years, and I've not heard this kind of discussion very often. So,
I will
definitely
I'll definitely advise Greg of the discussions that were had here today, and also Bert, who was.
Yeah.
At that meeting as well. So,
yeah,
I'm sure that they will be appreciative of what this decision was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I do appreciate, and I'll talk to Bert and Greg, I do appreciate their input and their education, as they always offer that. Even at times when it can be painful, it's always appreciated. So, thank you very much. Year-end report.
Mm-hmm.
Diane, I'm going to ask you to comment on this one.
Sure. We talked a little bit last week about the year-end report, and I think all the members here were not at that meeting. And so this is it's not a requirement by statute for the commission to have a year-end report as opposed to what it was required by the task force. But the group had decided in its bylaws it's a nice benchmark to kind of continue to base what work has been done. The group last week discussed as a skeleton to look at the plan of action and kind of incorporate that as elements within the year-end report. We asked, the group was asked for to submit suggestions on structure and, you know, kind of consider the year-end reports that the task force had just done in the past and mm-hmm. to submit those suggestions to me. I haven't received anything yet, so I haven't begun working on it yet. So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I'll do that is take, over the next month, is take the basis from the plan of action and kind of look at the elements.
Then, yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm sure it'll be brief, but it's... It's okay.
Yep.
We're just started.
Yeah.
So.
Brief is good.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then we could decide at that time period how that should, if you want to distribute it, you know, that type of thing then too. So
it would be very helpful to have some statistics for that.
Okay.
if you need a motivator for all of us to prepare you. And you can probably tell them that they won't get any drink tickets at the conference in January if they don't submit numbers. Think of other creative ways.
See what they react to.
No door prizes.
Yeah. And since there's not a timeline for it to be done, you know, if it, you know, it's later than January, I don't think it's as vital as important, you know, considering the commission. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of getting started right now.
Yeah. But you don't want to tell our colleagues that.
No. Withhold the drink tickets.
Thank you, Diane.
Sure.
And then I talked to Diane about, I think we scheduled meetings formally through, well,
February
March,
right
April.
Now.
Was it February?
We have February and March. No, I'm sorry, February was our last scheduled meeting.
And I just suggested to her to take a look at, could we get this facility if we were to continue meeting the third Thursday? I guess we've kind of tried to schedule a meeting the third Thursday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And she was successful in getting at least a room in this building through July's meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've got a copy of that in your materials there that kind of shows the dates. Mm-hmm. The January meeting, I would remind you again, is the fourth Thursday in January.
I think it is.
Because we couldn't get this room for the third Thursday,
right.
If I remember right.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
But I believe all the rest of them on here are the third Thursday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris, help me, or Larry, Michelle, what's the recorders conference in June? Is it the 18th? Is it that week of the 18th of June?
I believe you're correct, because he moved it from the second week to the third week. Joel did.
I knew he moved it.
Yeah. And it's normally the second week of June, and I think he moved it to the third week of June.
So the 18th is a problem week?
Maybe we should reschedule it?
We can have it up there.
You want to go to Breezy Point?
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
Pick up Elvis on the way and just come out up to Breezy Point.
Sure.
That is the date then, the 18th?
I believe it is.
The week of the recorders.
Sure, but I'm gonna,
well, yeah, let's talk about that, but that might be a problem for that month. And if we were to reschedule that one, either the fourth, the fourth of that month, and then maybe July, we'd see whether we even need to have a meeting, knowing there's a lot of people gone the month of July. Isn't that?
Aren't you really gone all summer?
Isn't that when Priya meets Bill? July, the summer meeting usually.
Yeah, it's usually that right around the
July is first week usually July, right?
Yeah, it's all
place.
Yeah, it's always really close to the 4th of July too.
Nice.
You get good deals in
DC.
July.
Oh,
okay. Phoenix, didn't you know that?
Yeah.
It's
summer,
like going to Duluth in January.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Yeah.
It's cheaper.
Yeah, because that's a
not cherry blossom time in DC. Yeah. Get the rooms for a decent price. They're still on Rachel's.
Why don't you try and tentatively see if that fourth Thursday in June would be available here, at least to take a look at that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay.
That we can they probably could accommodate us. So if it is available, I'll just go ahead and reserve
it. Go ahead and reserve it.
And switch the dates, okay. And these, we'll post these on the ERERC
on the website
then, too.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So people know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else on that one? Anybody? Question? Any other business items people would like to bring up? Didn't hear any when we went through the agenda, but... Anybody else on the outside? Hearing none?
Merry Christmas.
I'd be willing to entertain a motion to merrily have a happy holiday and adjourn.
Since you couldn't really officially start that.
Yeah, we can't officially end.
We'll unofficially end this unofficial meeting.
Because we got a little motion, a second, and that would be about it.